very grateful to have you here today with us, and hope that our time together and worshiping God will be a blessing to you. We have been, for most of the summer now, studying some of the parables of Jesus and looking at those parables and trying to see, well, what is Jesus telling us today? Really hoping that that can help us to be more of a church of excellence for the Lord, because that's what we're striving to do. Now, we've looked at a bunch of different parables, and as we talk about each time, that we realize that some of those parables Jesus tells to give us a picture of what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is about. A lot of those have to do with the way things are going to be when the Lord comes back again. We've also seen some parables that have to do with how He wants us to be living our lives each day. We spent some time talking about parables that have to do with how we're to pray and what He teaches us about prayer. Last week, we started looking at a series of three parables that have to do with being servants. Okay? And in fact, the parable we're going to look at this morning is really part two of the two parables that Jesus kind of told together. If you go back over into Luke chapter 12, the parable we saw last week where Jesus is focusing on the importance of servants, and we talked about that being us, always being ready, because we don't know when the Master is going to come back, and so we have to always be ready and make sure that we're prepared as servants of the Lord in doing what it is He wants us to do. Well, after Jesus told that parable, the disciples asked Him a question. If you look there in verse 41, Peter says to Him, Lord, are You telling this parable to us or to everyone? So, you know, after listening to that first parable about, you know, being servants who are ready, have your lamps trimmed, be dressed and ready for when the Master comes so you can open the door, and Peter's going, Lord, I'm not exactly sure who You're talking to about this. Is that for just us, the 12, or is that for everybody? In other words, it's almost like Peter is saying, okay, Lord, I get we're supposed to be servants, but what's everybody else supposed to be doing? And then Jesus doesn't directly answer that question, does He? Instead, He kind of answers it by telling another parable. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, I think that Jesus is answering Peter's question a little bit more directly than perhaps we might realize, because this parable seems to have a lot to do with those who are in leadership positions, which, if you think about it, would answer Peter's question, because Jesus, I think, wants he and the other disciples to understand what their job and how important their job is going to be once He leaves, goes back to His Father. So let's take a look at this parable and see what Jesus has to say to the leadership. Now, wait a minute. Before we do that, some of you are already going, okay, good. He's not talking to me since I'm not an elder or deacon. I can just go and sleep through this sermon right now. Oh, no, no. And you'll see why I say that in a few moments. Okay? Let's take a look at what Jesus has to say here. As He begins this parable, He talks about, He says, who then is the faithful and wise manager? Or some of your translations use the word steward, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Now let's just stop right there a moment, and let's make sure we understand a couple of things. Now, Jesus is focusing primarily in this parable on those who would be stewards, or those who would be in charge of other servants. But one of the things that we have to come to terms with here is we need to understand the word that is used here. Okay? Where your Bible translates the word servants The word in the original Greek language is doulos. And that word means not servants, but slaves. Now, last week we looked at the previous parable, and we kind of looked at the picture of a servant. Remember, I was telling you, usually when we think about a servant, we think of somebody like Hazel or Joe the butler or somebody like that. And we looked at the whole idea of being dressed and ready. And those kinds of ideas, those are the things that come to our mind when we think of someone who is a servant. But what we need to understand here is that Jesus is making it very clear, and that you and I need to understand that the word he's using here is purposely slaves. Okay? And the other word that he uses here is master. Okay? Kurios. That's the word. So the impression and the understanding Jesus wants you and I to understand is he's not just talking about Hazel the servant here, someone who gets a wage for doing what it is that they're supposed to do and they're taking care of tidying things up. He's talking about slaves. Now, the picture that comes to our mind when we think of servants is pretty much an easy picture to deal with, isn't it? But not so the picture that comes to mind when we think of slaves. That's an ugly picture, isn't it? See? It's one that makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? See? The whole idea of slavery makes us uncomfortable. Jesus wants you and I to understand that He looks upon us as slaves, where He is our master. This is not a situation where we are serving Him under our choices. You see, in other words, that we look at all the lists of the things that He tells us to do, and we go, well, I think I want to do that job, and I want to do that job. That job over there I don't want to do, so I'm just a servant, so... Oh, no. When you are a slave, you do whatever you are told to do. No questions asked. You see? And as difficult as that picture is in our mind to kind of get over, that's what we need to do. If we are to truly be what God wants us to be, and if we're to understand this parable the way Jesus wants us to understand it, then we need to picture ourselves not as Hazel or Joe the butler, but we need to picture ourselves as a slave. Period. See? Because until we come to terms with who we really are, we are never going to be willing to do what God has told us to do. Because we will want to serve Him on our terms instead of on His terms. And that's not acceptable. Everybody with me this morning so far? Have I got your attention? Okay. Now, the other thing we need to make sure we understand is as He's telling this parable, and I think it primarily focuses a lot on those who are leading and taking care of other slaves, okay? Since all of us are slaves, then it applies to all of us, doesn't it? You see? Okay? So now, how comfortable are you now? Yeah. I want to let that sink in for just a moment. See? So you get a good picture in your mind of who you are, so that what Jesus has to say will accomplish what He intends for it to accomplish in your life. You see, there are some slaves who are in charge of others, according to what Jesus is saying here. He's talking, as He begins in this parable, talking about the steward, okay, or the head slave, so to speak. The one who would be in charge of all the other slaves. And he's telling them, look, this one is responsible for taking care of, making sure that all the other slaves are taken care of so they get their food when they're supposed to get it. They get all the things they're supposed to get. So if that's your job as a leader of the slaves, then you need to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You see. There are those who have more responsibility than others, and those who do well in that responsibility, he says, will be given more responsibility. You see, one of the things that I think is important about this particular parable that Jesus makes it very clear is, if you're a good slave and you do your job as a slave, you do what you're supposed to do, you don't get time off for good behavior. You see? In fact, instead of getting time off, you get more work to do. You see? Look at what he says here in verse 42. I tell you the truth, he will be put in charge of all of his possessions. That's more work. See? So a faithful, trustworthy slave doesn't get a break. He gets more responsibility and thus more work. Now I want you to think about for just a moment, what kind of responsibilities do slaves have today who are serving our Master Jesus? Well, you know, I think if we look at it in terms of, you know, the Lord's church, we certainly have some who are slaves who are responsible for others, do we not? And that would be folks like elders, you see, the shepherds who have a responsibility for looking out after the sheep and making sure that the sheep are, help me, fed, you see, and taken care of. Is that not the role and responsibility of those men who are the shepherds? They're slaves, though. Okay? What about deacons? They have a certain responsibility in leading those underneath them and taking care of. We know those two. What about folks like Bible class teachers? Oh, Russ, now you're starting to reach out a little bit further. You're talking about a whole lot more of it. See? What about all of us who do anything in any capacity where we're leading and we're helping other people and we're supposed to be taking care of other people and so forth? So in other words, this isn't a lesson just for elders. It's a lesson for all the slaves. Okay? Now, importantly, there's those instructions he's given for those who are leaders and are responsible for looking after the sheep. And so he goes on to say in his parable, okay, what happens, you know, if that steward, that main slave that's over the rest of the slaves, what if he decides in his mind, he says, you know, our old master, he's been gone an awful long time. We don't know when he's going to come back. And he starts taking advantage of those who are under his care. Okay? Look at what he goes on to say here. The master is a long time coming. He begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That's a long time coming before he's come back, isn't it? So we kind of let the guard down. We start doing what we want to do. Start abusing one another. And when that master does come back, be called into account for the abuses of the position that he had. There's an awful lot of leaders, I think, who abuse their position today. And I'm just talking about folks in church, okay? We're not even talking about all the folks out there like we say those folks out in the world. You know, let's just talk about those who are slaves, because that's who he's talking to. He's not talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the slaves of the master. And unfortunately, a lot of times, there are those who look at it and say, well, you know, the Lord's been gone a long time. When is he going to come back? Turn over in your Bible. Keep your finger right here, man, but turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 for just a moment. And look at what Peter has to say about this very thing. Chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, and that's where we are now, in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Then he asked this question. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? That's an interesting question, isn't it? It's an important question. And I would suggest to you that for the purpose of our study this morning, that instead of the word people, we need to insert the word slave. You say, what kind of slave ought you to be? Say, you ought to live holy and godly lives, he says. So you see, there are still people today who are saying the same thing. You know, when is he coming back? It's been so long. Everything's going on. You know, he must have forgot about us. Now, the Master does not forget. He hasn't forgotten. He will come back at His time, not ours. Okay. And as Jesus tells this parable, we need to understand it's going to be a time when we least expect it. You see, as we were talking about last week, in that parable that we saw last week, he's saying the same thing. The important thing is that we need to be ready whenever he does come. You see? Now, the last part of this parable, I think, is some of the most interesting part of it. Okay? And this is the part where I think he's talking not just to the leaders, but to everyone. To all slaves. Okay? Because this part of the parable has to do with what you know and what you're doing with what you know. Okay? Notice that he says here, verse 47, that servant who knows his master's will, and that would be any servant, okay? That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. Kind of severe, isn't it? And you know, we would like to think, okay, well, yeah, okay, that's the elders. I'm not an elder. I don't have to worry about that. Whew. Oh, no. Keep reading. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punish will be beaten with few blows. Wait a minute. What do you mean here? What are you saying here? What we're saying here is that those who do not do what they're supposed to do, whether they know better or whether they not, are going to be punished. The only difference is those who know are going to be punished more severely. Okay. So there goes that excuse. Say, well, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I didn't know. You may not get as punished as severely as those who did know, but you're still going to get punished. He says. See? Those slaves who do things that they didn't know and that those things deserve punishment will still be punished. And what's the point of all that? The master demands our obedience. Period. Period. Whether we're a chief slave responsible for others, or whether we're just a slave trying to do the job and we're not doing what we're supposed to, he expects us all to obey his will. It's both. Those who know a lot, those who know a little. But don't do what the master says, who will be punished. And there's another passage that's very important for us to understand that emphasizes exactly what Jesus is saying, and I don't want you to miss this passage. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where Jesus there says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works? And he will say to them on that day, depart from me. I never knew you, you who work iniquity." Now, if you really want to understand that passage the way Jesus intends for us to understand it, then just insert the word slave there. Many, not every slave who says to me, Lord, Lord, many slaves will say to me in that day. You see what I'm saying? And you begin to understand the impact of what Jesus wants us to know. We choose to be slaves of Jesus. That's not something that is forced upon us. It is a choice that we have to make. See? God does not try to force anyone to serve Him. He wants us all to, but it is a choice that we have to make. And we choose to serve Him. We choose not as a Hazel or a Joe the butler, but as a slave. And that means that we are accountable to Him to do what He has told us to do. Period. Okay? And that He will hold us accountable. Whether we are elders, whether we are deacons, whether we are Bible class teachers, whatever it is that we're doing, He will hold us accountable if we are not doing what He tells us to do. There are a lot of slaves of the Master who are going to be turned away in the judgment day. A lot of slaves who did lots of work on behalf of the Master. The problem is they weren't doing His work, they were doing their work. There are a lot of religious people today, I think, who are doing more of their work for the Lord than they are doing His work. See? And both of these parables really emphasize and stress the importance of doing what the Master has said to do. And that's the difference between being a servant and being a slave. See? Slaves don't get to select the work that they do. They do the work that has been selected by the master for them to do. Understanding and knowing that at some point the master will return. And the slaves will have to give account to the master for what they did or didn't do. Okay? Some of these parables of Jesus are tough, aren't they? You know, we'd like to have the stories of the parables that really just kind of make us feel warm and fuzzy all over, don't we? See? But the reality of it is, following Jesus is tough and it's demanding. And that's as He wants it to be. But understand this also. Being a slave of Jesus, see, is one choice. The other alternative is a choice to be a slave to sin. Those are the only two choices we have. Being a slave to sin is not much fun. I've been there, done that. As have many of you. Being a slave to Jesus is good. See, because though we are slaves, Jesus makes it clear to us that if we will just serve Him, the yoke that He puts upon us is easy. The burden that He calls us to bear is light. See? And He is there to help us and to take care of us as we follow Him, as we serve Him. But it's still a choice. We're going to stand here in just a moment and sing a song that we use as an invitation. And it's an opportunity for anyone to be able to, well, several things. And maybe someone that's maybe struggling with being a slave of Jesus in your life right now. Maybe you've been more of a servant and you like it that way, but you realize that it's not good enough anymore. Is there some things that you need to get out of your life, some obstacles that are there that you need to get rid of so that you can truly be the kind of slave that God wants you to be for Him? We're here to help you to do that. There may be somebody here this morning who's not given their life to Christ yet, and so you're still lost in your sins, a slave to sin and death. But the good news is, if you're ready to make a commitment to follow Jesus, you can do that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as Lord. But understand that that confession means if He's Lord, then I am a slave. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up and make a public confession or ask for prayers. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd rather have a private prayer or talk with him back there, then he'll be in the back to receive you. We just want to serve anyone that needs to be served this morning in any way. Let's stand together and sing.